Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Today is Monday, July the 26th, 2021, and welcome to Fairburn City Council meeting by way of Zoom. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Yes, ma'am. The Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carr Hurst.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath.
Present.
Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Palland.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
And the Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
And also I see City Attorney Mr. Randy Turner.
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We have a quorum.
Yes.
We will now have the invocation by Pastor Charles Ramsey of the St. John AME Church.
Thank you and good evening. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your tender mercies. We thank you for your reign that has authority and power throughout this land and even throughout our lives. We come this evening, God, asking for a blessing and favor over our wonderful city, Fairburn, Georgia, God. We ask, God, you will continue to lift up our mayor and the city council members and all that work within our city. We pray for grace and we pray for direction. And we also pray for divine favor that we may work together as a city according to your word. This we ask in the name of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, the next item on the agenda tonight is the adoption of the City Council minutes. Council members, you received a copy of the minutes in your packet. Are there any corrections, additions, or to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are June 28, 2021. Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the June 28, 2021 City Council minutes?
Mayor Pro Tem Heath, hold on a minute. I make that motion.
Okay, motion has been made by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
And it has been properly seconded by Councilman Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The next item on the agenda tonight is the adoption of the City Council agenda. We have a presentation tonight for Mayor and Council to discuss the financial update on the City of Fairburn's fiscal year 2019 and 2020 financial performance. And it will be that will be given to us by Malden and Jenkins. There will be discussion tonight from the Office of the Mayor. There are four items under discussion: the Juneteenth holiday, the dates for political signs, police and fire training, and reopening of City Hall. Regular agenda has one item from the Police Department, Deputy Chief Anthony Bazillo from Mayor and Council to approve the sale of surplus vehicles, one item under community development, the Celeste Thompson, the Mayor and Council to approve an amendment to the IGA with the South Fulton CID to provide additional supplemental funding for the Oakley Industrial Boulevard full debt reclamation project. The last item on the agenda tonight is from our city attorney, Mr. Randy Turner, from Mayor and Council to approve and accept a deed of gift and limited warranty deed with revisionary interest from the Bedford School in favor of the City of Fairburn. Council, is there a motion to approve the agenda as so read for tonight?
So move, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion has been made by Councilwoman Linda J. Davis. Is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
And it has been properly seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Question, Mayor, question?
A question has been raised by Councilwoman Hattie Porter Jones.
Yes, Mayor. I'd like to make a substitute motion to add an agenda item regarding the dates for political signs. And the reason I'm requesting that is because we will not have a meeting in August, and the week following is qualifying, and our next meeting will be post-qualifying. And I think it's appropriate that we make that decision regarding the political signs at this meeting, since we won't have an opportunity prior to qualifying.
Councilwoman Portis Jones is on the agenda, and when the discussion was coming up, I was going to make it known to council that we could at this particular time make a motion to approve the dates for the political signs.
Great, thank you so much.
That will be under discussions. And if we want to move it to a regular agenda item, we can. That will be agenda item number 4.
Yeah, okay.
Is that what you would like to have, Don?
Yes, yeah. Thank you, Mayor. That's mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to move dates for political sign as agenda item number 4. Is there a motion on the floor to move dates for political signs to agenda item number 4? You want to make that motion, Councilwoman Portis Jones?
Yes, so move, Mayor.
Okay, and it properly seconded by?
Councilwoman Davis.
Councilwoman Davis. Dates for political signs will be added as item number 4. All those in favor of the agenda as it now stands?
Aye.
Any opposed? The agenda now stands as discussed. Okay. The next item on the agenda is public comments. Madam Clerk, do we have anyone in queue for public comments tonight?
No, ma'am. No one has requested to speak.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the first item on the agenda. And the first item on the agenda tonight is a presentation. Madam Clerk, would you read that agenda item, please?
The presentation is for Mayor and Council to discuss the financial update on the City of Fairburn's fiscal year 2019 to 2020 financial performance. And the speaker is Mr. Doug Moses with Maldin and Jenkins.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Roderick Taylor.
Mr. Moses, are you there?
Yes.
Along with Roderick Taylor?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you all doing?
We're doing great.
Awesome.
Okay. You now have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you. And good evening to everyone. And hopefully you all have had a chance to look at the financial statements. As far as the presentation tonight, we're just going to kind of touch on some of the highlights. And then at the conclusion of my presentation, I can address any questions or comments you all may have at that time. So you can advance to the next slide. Next slide, please. Advance to the next slide, please. Okay. Just a quick update on Maldin and Jenkins. And some of this information is not actually updated on here, but we actually now have 12 offices, 4 in Georgia, 4 in Alabama, 2 in Florida, and again, offices in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Columbia, South Carolina. So we're continuing to grow as a firm and very excited about the future. Our governmental practice continues to be one of the largest niches, representing about 28% of the firm practice. And we actually audit over 550 governments. And that includes about 115 cities, and about 139 of our clients received the GFOA Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. And you all are included in that list of clients that received that award. Next slide. As far as the engagement team leaders, again, I was the partner responsible for the overall audit engagement with 23 years of experience. This year, I had a different partner to do the quality assurance review. Adam Fraley, who has 25 years of experience, and he's also our governmental practice lead. And then Josh Carroll, who's on this call, this Zoom meeting today with me as well, was the engagement director slash manager with 14 years of experience. And we all provide 100% of our, we all spend about 100% of our time doing governmental audits. Next slide. As far as the financial statement, financial statements are the responsibility of the mayor and council management. Our responsibility is to give an opinion on the financial statements and whether they are materially correct. And we've issued an unmodified opinion on the basic financial statements, and which is what you will hope to get from the external and independent audit. The audit report date was as of March 24th, 2021, which means that the city submitted their financial report to the Department of Audits, as well as to the GFOA for participation in that program. So again, hats off for management staff who are working very hard to meet that deadline. We also issued an unmodified opinion on the compliance single audit to the major federal program, the coronavirus relief funds, in which the city received about $700,000 of CARES funds as of 9/30/2020. And again, a clean opinion on that program as well. Next slide. Advance one more. As far as our relationship with management, we received full cooperation from the city management staff and others. There were no disagreements with management on accounting issues or financial reporting matters. We did have some audit adjustments that were proposed, and those adjustments are reflected in the city's general ledger and ultimately in the city's financial statements. There were no past audit adjustments, meaning that anything that came to our attention, we proposed those adjustments, and those adjustments were made. Next slide. As far as our independence, we are independent with regard to the city and its financial reporting process in accordance with AICPA professional standards. There are no fees paid to Marlon Jenkins for any type of management advisory services that will have impacted our independence as your external auditors. Next slide. All right, so the next few slides kind of go over some financial trends. And this first one is doing a 6-year comparison, just looking at your operating revenues of your electric fund, your water and sewer fund, and then the other proprietary funds combined. And you can see it's pretty consistent here, pretty flat, with your electric fund going from $9.6 million to $9.5 million in 2020, and your water and sewer fund went from $7.3 million to $7.6 million, and then the other funds combined was relatively flat at 2.1 in the prior year, 2.2. When you compare that to your operating income, the numbers are still pretty good. Electric fund had operating income of about $1.1 million. Water and sewer had operating income of about $2.4 million. And then the breakdown of the other proprietary funds, stormwater had operating income of $528,000, sanitation $101,000. And the educational complex fund was the only fund that had an operating loss in the tune of about $114,000. But overall, the numbers look good for your proprietary funds. Next. I always like to present these slides here, really showing where the city has come from, coming out of the 2008-2009 housing market crisis, recession there. When you're operating at deficits for your fund balance in your general fund, which is your main operating fund, and just to kind of see, you know, where you guys are now is just awesome. In 2010, your fund balance for your general fund was about $92,000, climbed to about $11.7 million in 2019 to all the way to $15.5 million as of 9/30/2020. A lot of times people think that fund balance equates to cash, and a lot of times that's not the case. But for you all, your fund balance in your general fund is very liquid. So $15.5 million of fund balance compared to $15.4 million in cash at 9/30/2020. So that is very liquid. Doesn't mean that you're always at this point throughout the year, but again, this is a snapshot of time. But looking at 9/30/2020, very, very strong numbers for the city showing that you all climbed out of that hole, you know, several years ago. And then your other governmental funds increased from $4.7 million in 2019 to about $5.1 million in 2020. Next slide. This is your other major governmental fund, your GeoBond Capital Projects Fund. It went from a fund balance of $1.9 million in 2019 to about $2.2 million in 2020. It had revenues of about $1.1 million and expenditures of about $810,000, which all was debt service payments, principal and interest on funds. Next slide. This slide here is looking at your fund balance as a percentage of total expenditures for your main operating fund and general fund over the last 11 years. Normally, for most 30s and, you know, 930s as well. Local governments, it's good to have a fund balance percentage of about 2 to 3 months reserve, or anywhere from 16 to 25%. And you can see that upward trend that you all have been on, hitting 84% in last year, all the way up to 108% in 2020. So you had slightly over 12 months reserve at 9/30/2020. You know, and that's pretty amazing. Next slide. This is looking at all of your governmental funds, that same percentage, and the number is still good. Sitting 91% in 2019, 101% in 2020. You know, in 2011, it jumped up to 103%. Most of that was due to the city, the 2011 GEO bonds, which you all received about $10.4 million of bond proceeds. So that's why that number, that percentage is so high in 2011, and it dropped back down once those proceeds were used. Next slide. You know, several years ago, again, you all relied heavily on transfers in from the enterprise funds to your general because you had, you know, such a small fund balance or even deficits in fund balance for your general. And you can see in 2020, that's the lowest amount of transfers into the general fund in the past years, coming down to $600,000 at 2020. So you're not relying on transfers in from your enterprise fund to cover costs in your general fund. Next slide. This slide is looking at your net position or equity for your governmental activities. Again, this is all of your governmental funds, your general fund, your special revenue funds, your capital project funds on a accrual basis, meaning that you're reflecting long-term debt and capital assets. And so looking at your net position, you can see, again, that upward trend over the last several years, going from $42.7 million in 2019 to $50.5 million in 2020. Of that amount, about $31.2 million is invested in capital assets, net of related debt. And then you had about $15.4 million of unrestricted net position, which means that's available to continue meeting the obligations of your citizens. So again, strong financial condition here. Next slide. Hats off to management, staff, and others for doing everything within their will to ensure that the city was ready for the external and independent audit report. We did not have any findings, so that's awesome. And hats off to your management staff for ensuring that the city was in good shape for the audit. Next slide. We did have two matters. Once, nothing major here. This first one is a repeat. The city pretty much have about 239 checks, totaled almost $46,000, which have been outstanding for over 5 years. And so if you all have exhausted all of your efforts in contacting these individuals and just haven't had any success, then you need to turn over that contact information along with funds to the state of Georgia to follow VSG. So we do continue to recommend that. And then on capital assets, during our testing of capital asset additions, we did notice one invoice for $60,000. Mm-hmm. As an addition. So we did reflect that adjustment. But again, it wasn't a material amount, so we're just making that a recommendation for improvement, just to ensure that you're looking at all invoices, proper accounting, and recording of all of your capital assets. Next few slides kind of go over some new GASB standards. You know, we always kind of get advanced in the next slide here. That we share with our clients to keep you abreast of how the standards will impact the city. And so we're always discussing the team, the management staff. And we often have CPE classes kind of covering these standards as well to educate our clients on too. So again, just be aware of that. Advance one more and one more. All right, so we did throw this slide in here. We do have a governmental advisory practice now that that's been pretty big over the last year and a half, and a lot of our clients are taking advantage of some of the services that we can provide, whether it's you know, specific to one particular department, or we're doing a citywide operational assessment or performance audit. And again, it's been a big hit to several of our clients. And so I just want to make you all aware that we do have a separate governmental advisory practice along with an IT cybersecurity practice as well, if you need those services in the future. Next slide. And again, these are some, you know, topics that we've covered in our free CPE classes to our clients. You know, with the pandemic, we've been offering these virtually. And again, you know, your staff can earn up to like 28 hours of CPE credit. And again, your staff have participated in these classes, and we appreciate their attendance. Again, this is free of charge to all of our existing clients. And so with that being said, again, it was a pleasure and honor to provide auditing services to the city again, and I look forward to next year's audit. And at this time, I can address any questions that you all may have.
Council members, the floor is now open for any questions or comments to Mr. Moses.
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Councilwoman Portis-Jones, you have the floor.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Moses, for the for the presentation. We really appreciated that. I'd like to request if you could provide us with a chart of the data that you were reading regarding operating expenses, when you were talking about the revenues, operating revenues received. Mm-hmm. And so if we could have the operating expenses for comparison, that would be fantastic.
Okay, sure.
All right, thank you so much for that. Okay. And then secondly, you talked about the general fund and our liquidity position, which is, it is fantastic that we do have such liquidity. My question to you is there a standard for how much cash we should have, or when is it too much cash and that the funds should be put in a reserve fund or reallocated to something else? Is there a standard for that? And what advice would you have to us regarding that?
There's no standard. It just kind of depends on what's the city's overall strategic plan over the next several years. To be honest, to have a large cash and fund balance and just watching it grow, but not engage in projects around the city and make improvements and things of that nature, it's not doing anything for you. It kind of depends on what all the city has, as far as their plans in the near future, as far as, various projects and things of that nature and growing the city. So again, there's no maximum threshold amount. What the state law kind of looks at is, not law, but recommendations and things of that nature is to have a good reserve so that you all can weather the storm if, we go through another major recession and things of that nature, where you don't have to depend on a tax anticipation note to get you through those subsequent months until your property taxes come in and things of that nature. So, again, it just kind of depends on what the overall goal is for the city as you all move forward.
All right. Thank you for that. And also, you provided the fund balance for the general fund, but could we also have the fund balances for the upper, for the other funds that we have? They were grouped together, and it would be beneficial if we had those balances as well.
Can I also give you the page number to where these items are that you just requested as well?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So on page of your first question about the operating expenses for your proprietary funds, that's going to be on page 23 of the actual CAFR financial report. And so you...
I do not have that. So if you'll state that for the record, then we can obtain copies of those pages.
Okay, I'll get with Roderick to make sure you all get the actual report.
Okay.
And to indicate that those operating expenses are on page 23.
All right.
For the other governmental funds fund balances, it's on page 61 of that same report as well.
Okay, so pages 23 and pages 61.
Yes, ma'am. 61 and 62 for the balance sheet and the income statement.
All right, thank you. So, Mr. Taylor, if you would provide those, I'd like to request the entire report for my review, and but at a minimum, the pages that have been identified to the other council members or whatever they so desire.
I make one additional comment too, and if you want to see a summary and see how the city has done this year compared to last year, please refer to pages 4 through pages 15. And again, this is the management discussion and analysis. This is written by the city's management, kind of explaining why certain numbers change this year versus last year. And so that gives you a good analysis of things on a 2-year comparison.
Okay. And then lastly, again, for the record, this report reflects a point in time, which is September 2020. Is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Council members, the floor is still open for any other questions or comments to Mr. Moses.
Mayor, I have one question.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Moses, a few years ago, we keep talking about this monies in reserve and stuff like that. Did they not change that title? And if so or not, then... isn't it true that it's money that is kept in our general fund and it's not in like in a separate account? Because I know I went through the class and they said something along the lines that each city should strive to have at least 6 months of reserves, in reserve, because you don't ever know what's going to happen.
Okay. Yes. So when you talk about reserves, the old terminology is like, reserve fund balance, but yes. Uncle Gatsby 54 is broken down into other categories, non-spendable fund balance, which is like prepaid items and inventory. You have restricted fund balance. These are external restrictions. And then you have committed fund balance, which only the governing body can commit fund balance for a specific purpose. And then you have assigned fund balance, which, management can assign fund balance for specific reasons, and then unassigned fund balance. And so when you're, when you talk about that 6 months reserve, a lot of times, cities or counties or school districts will look at unassigned fund balance, which is available for any other reasons that's not grouped in the other categories, And then to kind of look at that divided by total expenditures or by total expenditures and transfers out. So depending on your fiscal year end, like for instance, if you all were a December 31st local government, then I would say that reserve should be actually 12 months because you receive most of your property taxes by that year, calendar year end, which will be used for the next calendar year's operations. And so for a June 30, you know, it may be, you know, 3 to 6 months, or for 9/30 may need to be, you know, 6 to 9 months.
Right.
And so it just kind of depends on your year end, you know, of your government.
But one last thing is, are the funds kept in our general fund or are they actually like in a reserve account?
All right, so you all have pool cash account, which is all of your funds participate in the pool cash, and then that's allocated out to the various funds. And so when I talked about how liquid your fund balance is, I'm specifically right. talking about the general fund. And so I was comparing that fund balance to your actual cash specifically for the general fund. Mm-hmm. Wasn't including any cash from the other funds that participate. Okay. In the pool cash account.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Council, the floor is still open for any other comments or questions for Mr. Moses. Okay. Council members, no other questions or comments? Mr. Moses, thank you so much for presenting to us tonight. And we'll get with Roderick tomorrow morning and make sure those documents are forwarded to all council members.
Thank you all. Y'all take care.
Thank you again.
All right, bye.
Good night. Okay. The next item on the agenda tonight are discussion items. And the first discussion item is the Juneteenth holiday. As you all know, Juneteenth is now a federal holiday. It was signed into law by President Joe Biden on June the 17th. And that was Senate Bill 475, I believe. The city of Fairburn celebrated Juneteenth on June the 18th at our first third Thursday's event that was held at the Frankie Arnold Stage and Courtyard. The city of Fairburn presently has 10 official holidays that has been approved by city council. And so we will need to discuss tonight whether Juneteenth will be added as holiday number 11. And at the June 14th council meeting, council recognized June 19th as Juneteenth in the city of Fairburn by a proclamation. So if the decision is made tonight to add this holiday, Juneteenth, finance and HR will need to go back and calculate the additional holiday into the salaries for the city employees. With that being done, we are going to change the line item for salaries and fringes for employees in the 2021 and 2022 budget. And so I'm bringing to you tonight a discussion by council to decide whether or not Juneteenth, which is celebrated on June the 19th of every year as a legal holiday, paid holiday in the city of Fairburn. So the floor is open for further discussion.
Councilman Smallwood, and I'll just put out there that I am for it. So I have no problem with that, you know, suggestion and that being our 11th holiday.
Okay. Any other comments by any other council members?
I am also in agreement, Mayor, with us having Juneteenth holiday as our 11th holiday for the city of Fairburn. I'm in agreement with that.
Okay, thank you, Councilwoman Davis.
Councilman Whitmore.
Councilman Whitmore.
Yes, ma'am, and I'm also in agreement with Juneteenth holiday as well, the city of Fairburn.
Oh, okay. Councilwoman Portis Jones, did you have any comments?
Yes, I did, Mayor. I am also in agreement with it being an 11th holiday, but I do want to see the financial impact that it will have. And so, you know, we may have to modify some other things if it's the will of council to make this an 11th holiday. But I am in agreement, but do want to review financial impact and look for further discussion during budget review and hearings.
Okay, you will see the financial impact when council reviews the budget. And I think Roderick is getting ready to set up times for, he will, I guess, in the next couple of weeks, a week or so, for council to actually look at the budget. Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Councilman Heath.
Yes, ma'am. I'm in favor of that, likewise.
Okay. And
it's a federal holiday.
Okay. And last but certainly not least is Councilman Palin.
Ah, well, there you are. It's absolutely the right thing to do. So let's just move on with it and go forward, okay?
Okay. All right. Okay, council members. So this will come back to you as an agenda item. So I just wanted to make sure tonight I had some kind of consensus before we started looking at the budget tomorrow to find out what the impact of this is going to be in the 2021-22 budget year. Okay, the next item for discussion tonight is the police and fire training. I think I have Chief Robinson on the line, and I also have Chief Mathis on the line. I was privy last week to go out and look at the burn station and also for the fire department and also the firing range for the police department. So first I'm going to get Chief Robinson to talk about the burn unit that they have, and also I'm going to get Chief Mathis to talk about the firing range. Chief Robinson, you have the floor.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening.
Good evening.
Today I just want to briefly go over the Fairburn Public Safety Training Center. We have done a good bit of work out there. We've done some grading. We have what we call a Class B burn building now, which is made out of connectors. Class A is your brick or brick veneer building, and the Class B is connex, which is the metal. Mayor and Council, I want you all to, when you get a chance, to get out there and see it. That facility that we have is one that's not even around here in South Fulton County. It's been something that the fire service in Fulton County has been needing for a long time, especially the city of Fairburn. With that new training facility, it will allow us to put on state certified classes. It will allow us to do training inside the city limits, which will keep our trucks in service while we're doing the training. As you all are aware, for years we've had to use Peachtree City's facility, which constituted us to take our trucks out of the city for half a day because of the mandatory training that's required by the state and ISO. Mayor, a lot of the material and work that has been done out there has been donated. It'll be very few items that the city will have to take on, but the cost of the cost savings that we have done out there, that training facility is just amazing. And I can't wait to get it open, get it started. And I'll let Chief Mathis tag on and talk about the police department in. But with us having a joint effort of putting that facility together, Mayor, police and fire, we've been able to rock and roll with it. It's amazing when the two departments get together what we can do for the city.
Okay. Chief Mathis.
Mayor, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. First, I'd just like to say Chief Robinson is being very humble on this. Chief Robinson, Michael Lynch, and the deputy chief has been working tirelessly with local vendors, getting everybody to not only donate their time, but also equipment, the gravel, the asphalt, the railroad ties, all the dirt that it takes. We're going to have a state-of-the-art training area out there for law enforcement. And one of the things, and I tell people this all the time, the things that you see going around the nation with law enforcement is not going to happen in Fairburn because of the way we train. We train our police officers how to talk to people. We train our police officers. There's a huge difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And just because we can arrest people doesn't mean we always have to arrest people. But the area that we are lacking is training. When I came here and I've done my SWOT analysis, I identified several areas of weakness, and training was one of them. With us having a firing range out there, we right now we have to kind of go to a couple of different areas. We have to kind of beg other departments to allow us to come qualify twice a year. And even last year, we just were able to do it once because of the COVID. And if we were ever to get into a shooting situation, and the quality of our police officers, how they shoot, was so poor, we could get us in a serious liability issue. But now with our own training building, we can not only use firearms, but we can use our seminitions out there. And it's just, I really encourage you guys to go out there and look. When you go out there and look what they're building for us, you're going to be simply amazed. And anytime you talk about a firing range, people have a lot of questions because everybody wants the officers trained. Everybody wants a firing range in close proximity, but nobody wants it anywhere around the house. But so this property is, I mean, it's like 300 acres you got, the city has out there. The where we decided to put it, we had to put it on a flat surface, not down in the floodplain. So it's probably about a little over 1,000 feet from the roadway, from Bohannon Road. It's about 1,200 feet from Harvest Rain Church. The nearest house, it's about, I don't know, 2,000 feet. And those are the houses right on Bohannon on the Fairburn, Fayette County line. It's just perfectly situated out there. And I did a scientific test out there as far as making sure that this very minimal sound. I put a police officer at Harvest Rain Church, and I fired a couple rounds, and I put a police officer at the very first house, the closest house on Bohannon Road, and fired a couple rounds. And the one at the church didn't hear anything. Now, they were in their car parked in front of the church. They weren't out in the parking lot, but they had no idea that I even fired the rounds. So I think we have this in a perfect situation that I don't think it's going to bother anybody. And as far as the way we have it designed and the direction that we have it going, it's probably 2 miles behind the berm where the nearest houses are. So a 9mm is not going to go 2 miles, I assure you. It's just situated in a very unique unique place down there. The actual range itself, it's a 50-foot berm, and it's 12 foot high, about 10 foot deep, and it's situated on top of a natural berm already. So the likelihood of anybody shooting over it's very unlikely unless they're actually doing it on purpose, even with some poor marksmanship. So I just believe this is a perfect situation. I really, really appreciate you guys allowing us to do this. And we've had even people donate the stands, the rebarb stands that that holds the targets for us. So we've had people donate the railroad ties, the dirt, the gravel, everything. And I have to give credit where credit's due. And that was Chief Robinson and Michael Lynch and the deputy chief that got all the people to donate the stuff.
Hey.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you, Chief Mathis. Council, both chiefs are available for any questions or comments. I would personally like to invite you all to go out to look at it. They was delivering the burn units the day that I think it was last Friday. Yes, Chief Robinson and I went out, and they had just delivered them. And we had volunteers there. Were they from Blacktop Paving? Where were they from, Chief? Flatting out the tarp.
You had Strat Incorporated was out there and Blacktop.
Yeah. Okay. So, council members, both chiefs are available for you to ask any questions, and if you need directions to get out there, we'd be more than happy to take you out and give you a tour. The floor is now open for any questions or comments.
Mayor, I have one.
Yes, sir.
Is the area out there large enough that both the fire department and the police department can shoot their weapons and plus use the burn building for training at the same time?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And the Councilwoman Portis Jones.
And also, let me just add that maybe in the near future, we may be able to. I know we'll be able to allow other agencies to come out and use it. Whether or not we charge them a fee will be something that council will need to discuss. And what that fee would be if we want to do that. But Chief Mathis, do we pay when we go to firing ranges in other cities?
We have paid. We went to Forest Park a year or so ago, and we did have to pay. The last two times we qualified, we had to drive all the way down to Sonoya, where they allow us to do it for free. But it does take us out of the city. You know, it takes me about 10 officers at a time out of the city for a few hours. And so now we can actually stay in the city and train. So, yes, we've had to pay in the past, but right now Sonoya does allow us to do it for free.
Okay. Okay, I think Councilwoman Portis Jones had a question or a comment.
Yes, Mayor. Yes, this is great news, both Chief Robinson and Mathis. So thank you and your team for the work that you've done on this. It's something that's been in the works or a desire of the city for a very, very long time. So thank you for that. I would like to suggest or recommend, Mayor, if we could have an organized tour of council, just for safety reasons, as well as for staff time and efficiency, if that's possible.
Yes, would you like for us to send out an invite tomorrow, or can council tell me now what's your schedule, maybe for next week? I don't have to go out with you. I've been there, but I can always go back again. Is any council members available this week?
I am, Mayor.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem is available. What about you, Councilwoman Portis Jones?
Well, it depends on what day and time. So could we just propose a couple dates and
dates?
Times?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about on Friday, the end of the week?
The 30th?
That's good for me.
Yes, the 30th.
Yeah, I'm okay on the 30th.
Yeah, that works for me as well.
Yeah, I have to catch up because my work schedule, I got meetings all week.
Okay. Mr. Palin, would you like to go out?
Well, I fired a few weapons in my time, but I wouldn't mind going out, okay?
Okay. So do you all have a Mr. Whitmore, you've seen it, have you not?
I have, but not since the additional work has been completed and delivery of the various things. So I'm available on the 30th as well.
Okay, so what time, council members, are you all available on the 30th?
I'm pretty open, Councilwoman Davis, pretty open.
Okay. What about afternoon?
Sometime that's afternoon. My preference as well. Afternoon.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem, you want to go after Judy, after you eat lunch at Judy's?
Absolutely.
Okay. so everybody knows Judy reopened today.
Great. Oh, okay, great, great.
They reopened today. So Friday the 30th, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock would be great.
That's fine.
Okay, so Friday the 30th at 2 o'clock. If you just drive into the parking lot at City Hall, you can drive your own vehicles over, and we can just do a caravan over if you would like to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Hey, Mayor, let me ask you one last question. Insurance. What does that look like for our premium on the insurance, having the firing range and all?
Well,
the mayor, the firing range shouldn't really do anything, but what it will do is the burn house should help insurance with the citizens, because you can use that. It should help the ISO rating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could chime in and concur that having our own training facility is going to count points toward our ISO rating. It's going to help us out tremendously.
Awesome.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem, we can get with the insurance company. I can have the court get with the insurance company on tomorrow and see if they can give us any kind of numbers that we can look at. Okay.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right, the last item that's up for discussion tonight is the reopening of City Hall. Council members, as you know, the Delta, there's another variant out here, the Delta and the SARS. I personally am not comfortable with opening City Hall at this particular time or any city buildings up. So let's talk about what your feelings are. We still do not have any protective shields up in City Hall. And I think Mr. Stokes has been unable thus far to get the air conditioning filters retrofitted. That has not happened. In fact, our systems went down in City Hall with our air conditioning. And so we're still having some issues with that at this particular time. So let's just talk about, I know the city of South Fulton has opened up a couple of days a week for a couple of hours a day. I don't know about Union City. I don't know if you all are familiar with any other cities that are doing a limited opening. But those are just my feelings with the Delta and that other variant that's out here. You know, I'm on pins and needles right now about it. So the floor is open so that we can talk about it. But what I would like to do is open up City Hall the week of qualifying, or the days that we qualify, which is August the 16th through the 18th. I think that it has to be open during that time to allow people to come in and qualify if they so desire. So, and we can, you know, as people leave, we can disinfect and wipe down the desk and whatever areas that people use, and they must wear masks. So just what your feelings are on just opening for the week of qualifying, and we talk later about opening it up to the public again. What's your feelings?
All right, Councilman Smallwood.
Go ahead.
Councilman Smallwood, I'll state my will. I'll rather err on the side of caution. I know when we spoke about this previously, things were looking up, but I mean, you turn on the news now and it is getting back kind of serious out here. So I am of the will to keep things closed and just monitor as we go along. And but like you said, for qualifying, I am in agreement with that as well, to open up for qualifying. But for other operations, I think we just better hold out.
Okay, was that Councilwoman Davis?
Yes, Mayor. I want to ask a little concern. I know originally we said we were going to open in June. And of course, as Councilman Smallwood has stated, things were looking up at that time. Now, things are at a downturn, and I can understand the hesitancy, but I want to just open the discussion up a little bit more with some more details in reference to the what obstacles are we coming into with getting the filters retrofitted, because I think we talked about that in the month of June, or if not May, and having that done and having the shields up in City Hall. Because I think those things we're going to need, whether, you know, not even taking in consideration the fluctuation of this virus, I think that's going to be an ongoing thing that we will need here on out, because you just never know when it's going to come back, how it's going to come back, or what have you. But so I want to open up this discussion about what are the issues or the challenges that we're having with getting those things done. And after we discuss that, I think my preference would be if we can open maybe a couple of days the week prior to qualifying, just to get an idea and get used to people coming back in, because we don't know what qualifying is going to look like. So those are some of the things I would like for us to discuss.
Okay. Mr. Stokes, are you on the line? Can Mr. Stokes be unmuted? He's our building.
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. I know you've heard the conversation. Can you chime in?
Yes, ma'am. We've tried the filtration system on the rooftop units that we have. The problem is it's not your conventional everyday HVAC system. The units we have on top of the roof at City Hall works a 6-inch filter. The filtration system that would eliminate this virus is adding another 2 inch, and it's making the supply for air, restrictor supply for air, so it's really not working. It's too thick. So what we're trying to do now is modify it to where we can get the correct filter, the correct size in one filter, and get rid of the 6-inch, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so is the filters, is the size of the filters that's causing the delay?
Yes, the filter that's on top of the rooftop units on top of the roof at City Hall are approximately 4 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
Those filters themselves are not your conventional filters. When I put the filtration system in that's going to work with this virus, it restricts the airflow.
Mm.
It will not work.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do now is get rid of the 4-inch filter and come back with one filter that's going to work and resolve it all.
So, and is that the 6-inch filter that you mentioned?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So are we having an issue with getting the 6-inch filters?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, not that. Yes, okay, no. They're not available, or
not.
What's the...
No such thing as a 6-inch filter. So in order to get this to work, a new rack would have to be built on top of that unit up on top of the roof. We got 3 units that cool City Hall.
Okay.
Finance department has 1 unit. The council chamber has 1 unit. And the HR side has 1 unit.
Okay. So it's not about going out and getting filters. You got to reconfigure what we already have.
Yes, ma'am.
And I wish that. Okay, go ahead.
I wish it was that simple.
Yeah. But I was thinking it would be that simple, but, you know, I don't know a lot about this stuff. No. That's why I wanted to find out. Yeah. So what kind of time frame, Mr. Harvey, do you think we will have these things or?
I want to go out on a limb and say, give me a couple, 2 or 3 more weeks, and let's see what we can come up with. If not, we can always go to the portable units, and that's something I really don't want to go through because they have not been proven to be tested 100% as far as eliminating this virus. They do make a portable unit that sits down on the floor, and you put one that covers about 500 square feet. Well, I don't want to see about 8 units sitting down in City Hall that's sitting on the floor that I'm not 100% sure is going to take care of this virus. I just need a little bit more time to study this if I can get it.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other comments or questions?
Councilman Porras Jones, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Mr. Stokes. Mr. Stokes?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So who will be doing the retrofitting? Is that your team building the what did you call it? The casing?
The racking.
The racks for the filters. Doing that?
No, ma'am. I'm going outside getting someone that's certified in this area because I don't want to put my seal on it with me not knowing this is going to work. No, it won't be in-house.
Okay, and what's the status of that recruitment?
We're working on it now. We're working on it now. I got 2 companies working on trying to come up with a filter.
Okay. And then what about other city buildings? What are we to do about those in terms of reopening?
Those I'm hoping would be rather simple because most of those work the same residential type units, unlike City Hall.
Okay. Have we done that, completed that assessment?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
No, ma'am.
And when do you anticipate having that done?
That's one of those that will take place. The only one that would give me trouble would be the police department have the same type units the City Hall have.
What about the courts?
Court service is a regular residential type unit. So the filter could be slid into it and it could work.
Okay. Mayor, I do share your concerns about the variant, but I'm also concerned that we are not open for business because all other municipalities are opening up around us. The state is open. Businesses are open. The Delta variant or whatever variant, I mean, we can't stay closed forever. So the question is, you know, what's our 2021 now mode of operation so that we can open for business?
Okay. We are open for business. The city
where access, public access to buildings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we still see people here at City Hall. We just don't allow people to come inside the building. Staff will always go out and have conversations with, and that's not the most conducive thing to do, but that's what we have been doing for the last year since we were attacked with the virus. It's my hope that we can open up at some point, but I'm not comfortable opening up City Hall with people coming in and we don't have a filtration system in here that gives us a little more protection. And I think I would like to see Mr. Stokes try to get someone to retrofit this for us. And we may end up even having to buy new units because we've been having some problems with the units here. where we just haven't had air in City Hall for a day or so. And that was very uncomfortable to be in the building without any air. So I think Mr. Stokes has his marching orders that he will try to get one of these two companies. And I'm not sure if Mr. Stokes is Omni Air, one of those companies.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If we can get one of these companies to see if they can retrofit or whatever we need to do to open back up. But my suggestion that I'm bringing before council tonight is that we open for qualifying so that we don't inconvenience anyone and we allow people to come in. Looks like Councilwoman Davis has suggested that maybe we open maybe a couple of days or so the week before. And it's council decision. If you want to open up a couple of days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, whatever days, the week before. The week before qualifying, which would be the week of August 9th.
Ninth, right.
Yes. Yeah. And because so it's just up to you. If you want to try to open up without the filters being retrofitted, the week of August the 9th, we're talking about really this week and next week, we're talking about 2 weeks out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my reasoning behind that, Mayor, is that I think you're going to be bombarded tremendously if you open up on the week of qualifying. People will be coming in for all different other kind of reasons, and then you've got qualifying, which you don't normally have. So that's the reason I was thinking if we could do it either a week prior to or a couple of days the week prior to qualifying. So, it won't be a confusion or anything.
Okay, so Councilwoman Davis has placed a suggestion on the floor that we open up the week before qualifying for a couple of days, and we need to decide what days those are. And then the week of qualifying, we know that those days are the 16th, 17th, and the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So are there any suggestions on the week before, which is the week of August 9th?
Mayor? I have a thought to share, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
I think we need to be open for folks who are there to qualify and only there to qualify for those 3 days next month.
Yes.
And as for the rest, I think we need to bump it back because you don't want to be sitting here a year down the road saying, I wish we hadn't done that so quickly. God forbid something should happen to folks as a result of that decision. It's not good. Let's leave it alone for a while. It's not the end of the world. We'll go on and on and on. Let's open up for those folks who need to qualify and be done with it. But let's not jump at opening up City Hall in its entirety before another month or two goes by. I think we need to be cautious and conservative. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Well, Mayor, I can go along with that if we're just going to do the qualifying for those 3 days. That way it will eliminate, a lot of people coming in to City Hall all at one time.
Yes.
Mayor.
And that was my suggestion, that we open up for those 3 days of qualifying. I don't want to inconvenience anyone, and I don't want anyone calling the ethics board saying that we were not open and they couldn't qualify. So, we will open up regular hours, 8 o'clock, and we'll talk about the time for qualifying when we discuss the political signs. So, council, are you all okay with opening City Hall for the 3 days that we're going to qualify, which is August 16th, 17th, and 18th?
Mayor, yes, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Just a second. Was that Councilman Whitmore?
Yes. And I was just going to chime in right behind Mr. Palin, because it was in reading this, it was my understanding the reason we were opening up the 16th to the 18th was for those people that were qualifying. And my second comment would be, if we don't have the filtration system retrofitted, it wouldn't make sense to open up a week prior to, even for a couple of days, because again, we don't know who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated, who's carrying, who's not carrying. And as Pat Palin said, you're just opening up a Pandora's box. So I do agree with the limited availability of City Hall for the individual that is going to be coming in to qualify. And then we'll deal with the general public once we find out what Mr. Stokes is able to do with the retrofitting of the air conditioning or the HVAC units.
Okay. I'm in agreement with that.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm hoping that Mr. Stokes can bring us something back on August 23rd, which would be our next official meeting.
Yes, Mayor. So Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Yes, Mayor.
I just wanted to ask if it's posted and also communicated via our social media what the protocols are relative to entering City Hall. Post, if masks are required, what will go on once you enter, so that everyone knows what to expect relative to protecting themselves and the staff relative to the virus.
Okay, we will. We will post it on social media, and we'll also have some signs posted here at City Hall.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. The first item on the agenda tonight is from our regular agenda tonight is from the police department. Madam Clerk, would you read the agenda item, please? The first item on the agenda tonight is for Mayor and Council to approve the sale of surplus vehicles. And that's Deputy Chief Anthony Bazillo, or is it Chief Stoney Mathis? I'm not sure which one.
Deputy Chief Bazillo here, Mayor. Good evening.
Okay. Good evening. How are you doing?
Doing well, ma'am. How are you?
Good.
Mayor and Council, here tonight talking about our fleet. And managing the fleet, we are requesting permission to sell four of our older vehicles. I'd like to give you a quick list and just kind of why we do this. Each October, of course, we start a new fiscal year. We would like to anticipate purchasing some new vehicles for the police fleet after October the 1st. But of course, to be responsible, we want to manage the size of our fleet. So we did look through what we have on hand. And we determined that there were four vehicles that would be appropriate to sell or auction off. And those vehicles, I've got a little list here for you. The first two I'd like to group together. They are a 1998 GMC van. The second is a year 2000 Honda Accord. Now, these were not purchased by the police department. These were seized as part of criminal investigations. So by law, they have to be auctioned off. The other two vehicles are actually part of our regular police fleet. They are a 2011 Ford Fusion. This was an admin vehicle. The second is a 2012 Dodge Charger. This is a marked uniform police vehicle. So with the two, the Ford Fusion and the Dodge Charger, the two that are part of our regular fleet, the Fusion has actually been down already for a couple of years. We bought several Ford Fusions together back in 2011. And when this one went down, we started scrapping it for parts. So we've been pulling parts off of this vehicle for a couple of years already, trying to be frugal rather than, get new ones. And the second one, the 2012 Dodge Charger, this vehicle's got several thousand dollars worth of repairs. And based on the age of the vehicle, it's nearly 10 years old. It's got over 130,000 miles. We just don't think it's going to be worth the money on to repair it and get it up to our operating standards. So with that in mind, we are coming to you tonight to request the authority to sell these vehicles as surplus.
Okay. Council members, the floor is open. Do you have any questions for Deputy Chief Bazillo?
I'd like to make a motion that we do as Deputy Chief Bazillo has suggested, and let's move on.
Motion has been made by Councilman Pat Palin. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman.
Seconded by Councilman James Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Thank you, Deputy Chief.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. The next item on the agenda is under community development for Mayor and Council to approve an amendment to the IGA with the South Fulton CID to provide additional supplemental funding for the Oakley Industrial Boulevard full depth reclamation project. This is being brought to us by Mr. Lester Thompson.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As you all know, the City of Fairbanks initially received funding commitment of $390,000 in construction funding for the OIB full depth reclamation project from the South Fulton CID through a previous IGA. However, the project scope was increased at the last city council meeting with the addition of add alternate number one when the City of South Fulton agreed to participate in the project. This increased the project cost by $720,000. The IGA with the South Fulton CID covered $504,000 of the $720,000, leaving a funding gap of $216,008.33. At the June 25th South Fulton CID board meeting, the board agreed to cover this funding gap in order to where the proposed amendment to the IGA is the means by which to revise funding between the City of South Fulton, between the City of Fairbanks and the South Fulton CID will be formalized in order to be reimbursed approximately $606,008.33 in construction funding. The amendment to the agreement must be approved. As such, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the amendment to the agreement with the South Fulton CID for the Oakley Industrial Full Depth Reclamation Project. Any questions?
Council members, any questions for Mr. Thompson? Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved.
So moved.
Whitmore.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore and seconded by Councilman Pat Pallon. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The next item on the agenda is from our city attorney, Mr. Randy Turner, from Mayor and Council to approve and accept a deed of gift and limited warranty deed and revision and reversionary interest from the Bedford School in favor of the City of Fairbanks.
Good evening, Mayor and council members. It's good to see all of you.
Good evening.
Well, this item is for the city to accept and approve a transfer of a 3-acre tract of land on Milan Road. This is a tract of land that has been identified by staff, surveyed, investigated, and intended to be used for the construction of the new fire station. We had entered into some discussions with the Bedford School for a while about entering into a long-term lease of that property, and I was able to convince them that this was a much cleaner way to transfer this property over to the city. It's a very common thing with land being donated to governments for specific uses. So under this deed, Bedford School has agreed that they will donate the 3 acres of land to the city of Fairbanks. With the requirement, of course, that the city will use this tract of property for the construction of a fire station, and that fire station will be permanently equipped, staffed, and operated for the benefit of the city, and that if in the future, and I suspect we're talking about a 40 to 50 year timeline decision in this particular case, but if sometime in the future, if the city does decide that this is no longer an appropriate place for a fire station, then we would be obligated as a city to remove the structures we constructed on the property, and the title to the property would revert back to the Bedford School. So what I'm asking you to do today is to approve and accept this deed of transfer.
Council members, do you have any questions for Attorney Turner?
Yes, Mayor.
Council.
Go ahead. I have two people, Councilwoman Linda J. Davis and Councilwoman Hattie Portis-Jones. I'll take you first, Ms. Portis-Jones.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Mr. Turner, thank you so much for this. This has been a long time coming. Really appreciate it. I wanted to ask for clarity and legal purposes, we, the city of Fairburn over the years have talked about the fire station on that side of town becoming, for lack of a better classification, a public safety, which would include a fire station and a police substation. And I just want to throw that out there to make sure that if we were to do that, that there were no issues with the language in this conveyance.
Well, it became my understanding that building a police precinct was not, I believe the way it was described to me, that it really wasn't practical on that site.
It was a substation, not a police precinct station, which is a very much smaller unit, and it would be part of the overall structure.
Correct. But again, I came to understand in the negotiations that we did with the Veterans School that that was not going to be the case at this particular property, that it would be used for a fire station.
Okay, so that's Befford is dictating that fire station only, that if we were to have the funds to do a police substation as part of it, it would not be allowed?
We would have to, if we were to build a police substation on that property at this point, we would have to go back and ask them permission.
Well, that's why I'm asking now if that could be part of the conversation in the event that we do decide to do that. Because we've always had a discussion, and we know we need police presence on that side of town, as well as a fire station, and that it would be cost effective if we could build a police substation as part of that structure, the fire station.
All I'm asking
is for us to have the ability to explore that by just broadening the language in the conveyance that will allow us to do that rather than having to go back.
Ms. Portis-Jones, that was also my understanding. I think that the renderings shows that there's space in the fire station for the police to have an office and I think a holding room or interrogation room or something of that nature. Mr. Stokes, are you on the line? Because that was my understanding. And Chief Mathis, I thought that was my understanding also.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. Sir.
When we did the proposal, we talked about that from the start, but I was told that all they needed was an office in a restroom for the police department, no holding cell, no nothing. They just want it for administration purposes. That's the way we were going to build the fire station. They were just going to have an office just for administration work.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Chief Mathis, what was your understanding? He's not on. So Randy, your understanding is that it is strictly a fire station.
I don't think we have any problem with putting an office inside the fire station that can be utilized by the police department.
Yeah.
And that was the extent to which I understood that they would use any portion of it, even if they got to the point of using part of the fire station for that purpose. I don't see any conflict with having an office like that located within the fire station, if that's what the city ultimately decides to do. But that was not, it was it was not part of my understanding that this was going to be used as a police station, right? Okay. That it would be a fire station. And if anyone feels like we need to go back and clarify that with them, we certainly could. But our discussions have been this be used as a fire station.
Okay. Let us go back and have a, with Mr. James, let us go back and have a conversation. Let's try to have a conversation with him on tomorrow or no later than Wednesday and try to and bring this up as a talking point, because that was my understanding that we would have the police station, the police would have space there, maybe a room, bathroom or something. I wasn't really sure. But they would have presence there, because my conversation with Mr. James, he was thrilled to know that we would have some officers over there right next to the school. He felt very comfortable knowing that not only would they have fire protection, but they would have police protection over there also. So if you don't mind, let's have a conversation and clarify this.
We certainly can do that. I think we just need to be cognizant of the fact that we, you know, if we do modify the language of the deed to provide for that, then we may be obligating ourselves to do that. And so this, that, you know, it was part of the overall thinking that this came up as a discussion originally, that there would be something in the nature of a police. I think had the councilwoman referred to it as a, you know, a substation, and that plan did not go forward in the discussions that I had when we went to the Bedford School and talked about what was going to be there. Okay. I don't see any real conflict with the fire department allowing or offering up an office within the building, that there would be any conflict with this conveyance. But if we would like to get some clarity on that, then we should do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Mayor.
Councilwoman Porter-Jones, and then I'm going to go to Councilwoman Davis, and then I think Mayor Pro Tem, he had a question.
Yes. So I want to just make sure I'm not trying to dictate what the police presence would be. I am just asking that the legal document, this conveyance, allow us as much flexibility as possible as we have these discussions and have it make the final decision on what that construction will be. Activity is booming on Highway 74, and we need police and fire presence. And, you know, efficiencies of dollars, efficiency of construction, however we need to do it. If we can just get the legal language that just allows us that flexibility to do that, Mr. Turner, that's all I'm asking for. And help me to understand if the Bedford School would have objection to us doing that. You know, why would they not want to donate the land if we want to put police presence there as well? So I don't understand that issue. But I do appreciate you going back and having that discussion and to try to get as much flexibility for the city as possible in developing public safety for that side of town.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
We'll do so.
Councilwoman Davis, I think you were next, and then Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. Attorney Turner, I had some concerns with this restrictive clause here, because I remember a while back, I guess when I first came on council, we've been talking about the fire station over there, and the Bedford School was going to give us this land. I never heard anything about any restrictions or anything that this clause, this conveyance right here is saying. And I'm a little bit concerned about it, because I'm just wondering if it is going to restrict us in some of the activities that we want to do. Will it restrict or impede, you know, the function of the fire station? And also, I do remember us talking about it being a substation or a police presence over there. I don't know the exact terminology that was used, a police presence over there, because it would just be a great idea to have it over there in that area. And that area is growing and booming. So I'm really concerned about these restrictions on this gift. And even more so when I heard you say, and if I understood wrong, please correct me, that if we decide, the city decide 40 or 50 years that they don't need that fire station over there, that we literally have to tear that building down and present that property the way we received it 40 years prior. Did I misunderstand that?
No, ma'am, we did not misunderstand that.
Wow.
You know, the city, I mean, part of the incentive for the Bedford School to make this land available was that there was going to be located a fire station there. And in my conversations with Mr. James, they were, you know, they were concerned that that's what it will be used for, is providing fire protection there. As far as the police substation goes, I can't tell you the all the ins and outs and discussions that have been had about it, but I know that when it all came to me as a final proposal, I was under the understanding that the property was not really big enough to provide, room for police cars going in and out on a regular basis, and certainly not have a holding cell there. And that the design that the city is intending to use, and you know, Mr. Stokes can speak to this, is a fire station. So I can't speak to whether or not there's really an office available in that design to make available to the police department. But going back to your general question, yeah, I mean, that was a big incentive for the Bedford School to even make property available to us. You know, this is not an unusual way to obtain a property for a public facility. If it's our intent to actually let the Bedford School know we're going to have police presence there, and also that we are not comfortable in restricting the property to those uses, then, you know, we need to make that known.
Well, I can understand their concern with a full-fledged police presence there. I can understand that, but it just
don't misunderstand me. They didn't have a concern about a police presence there. The information I was relying on really came from the city. I'm talking about my discussions with, you know, Mr. Stokes, and that ultimately it came down that this was going to be principally a fire station.
Right.
And that they were, Bedford School, that, as I say, that was the incentive for making the property available to us without us having to buy it.
I do have a concern, though, about having to tear that structure down for whatever reason. It's just not that we have any idea of wanting to do that, but it's just a restriction that I'm personally not comfortable with. I mean, because it will probably cost more to tear the thing down than to go out and purchase 3 acres of land. I don't know. I'm just being a little flippant here, but I'm just a little concerned about that. And maybe you can reduce my concern reference to this.
I'm not sure that I'm the expert to tell you that, but I certainly suspect that if at some point the city decided they're not going to have a fire station anymore, that fire station will have been fully depreciated, the structure itself. And, you know, demolishing a building is not really an extremely expensive thing to do. In most cases. So,
okay.
I mean, Mr. Stokes can speak more of those, you know, that than I can.
Okay. Let me ask just one last question of your attorney. Turner, do you not have any concerns or hesitation about the conveyance language in here and the restrictions that's in here with this gift from a legal perspective and from a liability perspective for the city?
I do not. No,
ma'am. Okay. Okay.
Mayor.
Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem. Mm-hmm.
Mayor, Mr. Turner answered my question.
Okay. Okay. Did I hear Councilman Whitmore?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
So, Attorney Turner, I've been listening to the discussion. And again, I think I recall seeing something on the renderings about having an office within that police station. And Chief Robinson can verify that if he's still on. So I think I remember seeing it when I was in his office. But the other thing that I just want to mention right fast, Attorney Turner, is that the reason for your presentation with the limited warranty deed with revisionary interest was because of the legal ease of getting this done quickly, number one. And then, of course, if 40 years down the road, if they decided or if the city decided, if once we build totally out and we decide to, i.e., put that police slash fire station where we talked about doing it right on Verlin B. Smith, all right, if this facility was not needed anymore, it would be reverted back. Now, whether we have to tear it down or not, that can be up for debate because anybody can retrofit things and make it into something else. But it was my understanding the reason for this was for the ease, legal practicality, so that we can move forward and get moving on this building of our fire station. Is that not correct?
Yeah, I think to your point, Councilman Whitmore, the this conveyance is a conveyance in forever, right? We could not have leased this property with that kind of assurance. You have to have an end somewhere. So if you can imagine 50 years down the road, if you had a 50-year lease on a piece of property, and, you know, 50 years down the road, maybe the Bedford School decides they don't want a fire station anymore, then we've got a problem. So this was a much less complicated way, and it also, as I say, we would own this property forever. And, you know, in some event that we decide not to have a fire station there anymore, their obligation is just to get rid of it, which is what we would do anyway. And who knows, 50 years from now, 40 years from now, if that decision is made, maybe the Bedford School says, no, leave the building there. We'll take, then they'll rip it for some purpose. I mean, those things can be changed down the road. But, you know, but Bedford School, certainly at this point in time, would not want the building to cease being used as a fire station, but the building remain there.
Right.
That's certainly, you know, in 2021, that is not something Bedford School would want to look forward to. They just decided to move the fire station, but they left the building.
Not to put words in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But just for clarity's sake for this discussion,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so we will own the property as long as we are operating a fire station there, period, whether it be 40 years or 90 years.
That's correct.
Okay, so the only way that this property would revert back to the school is if we decided, the city of Fairburn, whoever's on council and whoever's mayor 40, 50, 60 years from now, decide that they no longer want to have this structure as a fire station. And at that point, the conversation will go back and forth between the Bedford School and the city of Fairburn, whether or not we have to demolish it and return the land back or leave the structure there. Is that correct, sir?
That certainly would be a discussion that might come up. But as I said, in 2021, Bedford School doesn't want to have that discussion now. They want to be assured that if in the future the city doesn't use the property for a fire station anymore, that we have some obligation to get rid of it. And, you know, that's not an unreasonable position. And I think it's, but it is exactly what you said, that those, that could be changed at any time, 40 years from now when the city makes another decision.
Yeah. Thank you for the clarification, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, so Mayor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes. So I want to. There are two different discussions that are being held here, and I just want to make sure that I am restating what I have asked, and that is flexibility for the city of Fairburn to have a public safety focus, not just a narrow fire station focus. And I think that's just a question to, you know, the Bedford School. And I would hope that they would want that public safety presence as well. Relative to the reversionary clause, I too have seen that as common language. And it's not unusual. And 40, 50 years, things change, focus change, neighborhoods change. And so that's not that uncommon. And, you know, buildings are demolished, you know, all the time. And so I'm not as concerned about that, given it's 40, 50 years out. But I am very concerned that our hands might be tied to one component of public safety versus two, which was the vision that we of the city of Fairburn have for that side of town, because we have none at the moment. And I just want to make sure that we are not limiting ourselves. And that's all. I really want to reiterate and restress that point.
Okay, did I hear
Councilwoman, I think that's a good point. And I just, you know, I'd say this just so that make sure that we're all on the same page. I think what our intent would be to go back to Bedford School and to just get permission to utilize, you know, some of that fire station building for a police office.
Yes. What police?
I want to make sure, and here's what I'm trying to get at. I want to make sure that we are not placing ourselves under some obligation to have a police presence in that building. But I understand that it seems council would like to feel confident that you at least can put an office in that fire station and dedicate it to use by the police department. And that's the discussion that we'll have, unless I've misunderstood what you all have been saying.
Well, no, you did not. But I also asked, please don't describe it just as a police office. I mean, I don't think that final decision is still yet to be made. So can we just talk about police presence, a substation of some kind, not just an office? I don't think we know yet at this point what that might look like, but we do need permission for police presence. And if we need to go back to them to communicate what that might look like, you know, I don't have a problem with that either. But I'm asking, please do not limit, try to get us as much flexibility as possible for public safety on that side of town.
Correct. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Was there anyone else who had any comments or questions?
Yeah, I have a comment. 50 years down the road, I'll be 126 years old. I'll probably still be on council. I'm trying to decide how I might feel about this then. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman Powell.
So Mayor, I would suggest that this item be held until, yes, I believe it's August 23rd, I think.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Yes. Council, let me have a motion on the floor to hold this item to our next council meeting on August 23rd, when Mr. Turner will come back with us after he has a conversation with the Bedford School concerning some public safety presence in that fire station.
Can so I have moved, a motion? Council, so moved, Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Motion made by Councilwoman Portis-Jones. Is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem.
Seconded. I think that was Councilman Palin. It's been motion and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
In opposing? None. This item will be held until the August 23rd meeting. Okay. The next item on the agenda is item number 4, which we added. And that item is dates for political signs. As you all know, qualifying time for the city of Fairburn is August 16th, 17th, and 18th. Qualifying hours have been stated as 8:30 until 4:30 in the afternoon. Right now, political signs are allowed only in private yards or in businesses. We have historically in the past as a council, I know ever since I've been on council in 2007, political signs were allowed on the right-of-ways, which began the first day of qualifying. So whatever that day was, people could actually put their signs on the right-of-ways. But campaign signs on the city major thoroughfares are prohibited. And when we say the major thoroughfares, we're talking about Highway 74, leaving Peachtree City and entering into Fairburn. And we're talking about the median signs in the middle of that four-lane highway. Signs can be placed on Highway 29. The clerk right now is preparing rules and regulations concerning political signs. And I think that she's prepared to send that out to all council members. And it will also entail the removal of those signs after the election is over. These rules and regulations will also be given to everyone who qualifies for office in this election. So with that being said, August 16th through the 18th are the days for qualifying, and those are also the days that political signs may be placed on the right-of-way in the city of Fairburn. Now, the code enforcement has removed signs in the city for the last 6 weeks, I know, because they were placed in the right-of-way, or they were placed on medium. And so we're going to also ask, and we'll send that out in the packet, and I'm hoping that the clerk can get that out to you all tomorrow at the latest, or Wednesday at the latest, is 10 days after the election that all signs must be removed, or the city will remove those signs and they will be destroyed. We're just not going to be in the business of calling people, telling them to come by and pick up their signs, and we have to store the signs. So we're going to give them 10 days to pick up their signs. So with that out on the table, council members, what is your pleasure when it comes to the election and political signs and where they can and cannot be placed? And let me just tell you, the thoroughfare on 74 is state. And what we have to do when we're cutting grass, even when it's in some of the easements, we have to actually pull those signs up and try to replace those signs back in the same spot. And that's just not something that, you know, we should be touching on any one sign once they've been placed in the ground. So the floor is open for any suggestion, comments concerning political signs in the city of Fairburn for this election.
Councilman Smallwood, that sounds fair to me.
Okay.
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes. What you've stated is reasonable. I'd like to propose a counterproposal that all signs be picked up 5 days after the election.
Five?
I think 10 days is much too long. The election is over. Just like you had your team put the signs out, if you want them, you pick them up. 5 days is more than enough.
Okay. And I know that Dina has been working on that packet. And so I got a glimpse of it on Friday. And we're going to send that out to all council members, whether or not you're up for re-election this year or not. We're just going to send it out so you'll know exactly what's in the packet. And we'll give it to anyone that comes into City Hall to qualify for the mayor's office or for a city council seat.
One question of clarification.
Yes, ma'am.
Would that packet include the list of the streets where signs will not be allowed?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments for the political signs? And I'll get with Dina first thing tomorrow morning, and we'll make sure that we get this out to you. It's going to be a large package. So maybe we can just give it to you on Friday. Would that work? And we don't have to send code enforcement by your house.
Yeah.
And just deliver it to you on Friday.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Do we have to take a formal vote on it, or
I went back and I looked at the minutes from previous meetings, and there wasn't a vote. It was just up for discussion, and council decided how they wanted to handle political signs. But if someone wants to put a motion on the floor, a second, I don't have a problem with it.
I'm just asking for clarification. If it's not necessary, then no.
Okay. So I have a question. So are we going with 10 days? Signs have to be removed? Five. You're going to go with five? Okay.
Yeah. 5 days. So what Dina will prepare will change it from 10 days to 5 days.
Okay.
And we'll give these this information to you on Friday when you come through City Hall at 2:00 for the tour.
Okay.
One clarification, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
So when you say 5 days, are you saying five business days, or is that inclusive of the weekend?
Okay. Which one you all want? 5 days or just 5 days? I don't know.
Oh, they can have the weekend. They can have the weekend.
Okay. So five business days.
Thanks.
Okay. Five business days.
Business days.
From the date of the election, which is November 2nd.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Ms. Davis.
I'm sorry. I'm talking to myself here. So we will be putting that date, actual date on that, on the form, right?
Yes, we'll put the date
on there. So there won't be no confusion.
We'll put the date on there.
Okay. Great. Good deal.
Okay. Okay. I see my clerk pictures appearing up there. That's the last agenda item for tonight. We don't have an executive session.
Oh, Mayor, one other question. I'm sorry. Just for clarification, we had the discussion regarding opening City Hall. Are we required to take a formal vote on that decision?
No.
No?
I don't think. Randy, do you think we need to take a formal vote on opening City Hall the 16th through the 18th for qualifying?
Well, I need some clarification, Mayor. Can I ask a question to clarify something for me? Yes. When we say open City Hall for qualifying, we're just talking about the people that are qualifying, right?
Yes, ma'am.
It's just strictly for the people qualifying. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. That's fine. Thank you.
You know, Mayor, in that you do have a, you know, you are operating under an ordinance right now that closes City Hall. So I think it would be appropriate to go ahead and take a vote that council is approving opening of City Hall for the purposes of qualifying on August 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Okay. May I have we've gotten an opinion from our city attorney. May I have a motion on the floor, please?
So moved, Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
Mayor Pro Tem Heath has made a motion to open City Hall the 16th through the 18th, 2021, for the purposes of qualifying for offices here in the city of Fairburn. It has been properly seconded by Councilman Ulysses Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposing? That motion carries. 6-0. Thank you so much. Again, no executive session, correct, Mr. Turner?
That's correct, Mayor. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
I'm only slightly offended by that.
Personal? Okay. So let's start with our council comments. Let's start with Ulysses Smallwood.
I don't have anything. Good evening.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Whitmore.
No comments, Mayor. Good evening.
Okay, good evening. Councilwoman Davis.
No comments, Mayor.
Okay. Okay, we're on a roll. I'm going to leave Councilwoman Portis-Jones last because we're on a roll. Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
I do have one comment. I just want to tell Mr. Thompson, you are having an excellent job done over there on the Research and Oakley and Industrial Boulevard. That road is just smooth as silk. So thank you for your efforts of doing that.
That's it. Sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Councilman Pallett?
I could make all kinds of comments based on what I've heard here tonight. However, no comments.
Okay, Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Well, since Mayor Pro Tem Heath opened the door, no comments, Mayor. No comments.
Okay, no comment. Okay, I have just a couple of comments. It's really information for council tonight. First of all, I wanted council to know that on Tuesday, July the 20th, we received our first payment for the American Rescue Plan in the amount of $3,130,890.
My goodness.
So the morning of the 20th, we got notice from United Community Bank that those funds had hit our account.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's so awesome. Yay. So
we have those funds in hand. The only other thing that I wanted to, we sent out an email to you all this afternoon. If you have time on Thursday, come over on Go Lightly at 10 o'clock that morning for the Community Garden dedication with Representative Mandisha Thomas. She's going to be holding a press conference on state funding for South Fulton County Young Farmers Program. So if you have a few minutes on Thursday, the 29th, starts at 10 o'clock, if you would come by, we would love to see you over there at the garden. The last thing that I wanted to bring to your attention is on last Thursday, I believe, I received from David Hughes, and I sent it to Attorney Turner. I thought I sent it to him today, but I did not. A deed for the land behind the Cigar Studio Lounge on Harris Road. they quit claim just about an acre of that land behind there to the city of Fairburn. Wow. And I went over to the studio bar and received that quit claim deed on last Thursday. While at the studio bar on Thursday, they had a special guest there, and it was none other than Academy Award winner Lou Gossett. Lou was there, and it was a very interesting evening. He actually pulled me aside and asked to have a conversation with me one day this week concerning doing something for the city of Fairburn. He lives in Fayetteville, and he travels through the city all the time, especially 74, and he's very interested and doing something for the city. I don't know what it is. I'm going to be meeting with him one day this week. I think it's Thursday, and I'll get back with council and let you know exactly what his interest is in the city of Fairburn. Don't know until we talk more in detail about it. The last thing that I wanted council to know is that we're getting ready to sign the T-Splash IGA with Fulton County. It will be signed on August, I think it's August the 2nd at 9 o'clock down at Fulton County Government Center. All 14 cities will appear at the government center at 9 o'clock that morning to sign the IGA concerning our T-Splash. And with that being said,
Mayor, may I interrupt?
Yes.
Mayor, lest I forget the deed that you just discussed.
Yes.
That should be taken to council and accepted and approved. It's,
yes. We were sending it to you because Tariq and I talked, and there's something that needs to be cleaned up on the deed. And so Tariq is getting with David Hughes one day this week. And so that's why I'm going to try to bring it to council on the 23rd for acceptance. But I merely accepted it from him for city council to approve at a later date.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I'll send it to you on tomorrow. There's an issue with the parcel, the actual conveyance of the property. And so Tariqa will talk to you about it on tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Okay, council, with that being said, that's it. My announcements for anybody have anything else before I ask for a motion so we can get out of here?
No, ma'am.
Better not.
Okay. Let me get a motion to adjourn.
Don't move. Councilwoman Davis.
Councilwoman Davis has made a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that Mr. Palin?
Yes, second, yes.
Okay, seconded by Councilman Callan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposing? That motion carries. We are now adjourned. It is 9:03. You all have a wonderful evening and a wonderful week. See you on Friday.
Good night.
Good evening, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Bye.